Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
One verse of scripture before we get started, 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Man, we quote this scripture, seems like multiple times every week. Paul wrote to the church, "But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So tonight, for just a few moments, I want to talk about that. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together for the lesson tonight and ask God to open our hearts to the Word. Lord, we love you and praise you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. And we thank you for the many gifts you give us. And tonight, thanks be to God for the victory. We praise you tonight, Lord. We love you. Bless our minds and hearts to hear the Word, hear what the Spirit would say. Let it encourage us and challenge us tonight. Change us and make us better. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Let's clap our hands one more time to the Lord for the Word of God. We're thankful for the Word. Hallelujah. And you can be seated. Praise God. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Jake talked last night about returning to the Word and getting back to the Word. And, you know, the Word should be something that we pay close attention to. The first psalm said that the blessed man meditates in the law day and night. His delight is in it, and he meditates in it. It's not something that he dreads. You know, when you realize what you find in God's Word, it's not something you dread, but it becomes your delight. You find the answers that you need from the Scripture. We live by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. And it's always good to pay close attention to what the writers are saying. And oftentimes, we need to pay very close attention who they are writing to. And so many times, the letters that the apostles wrote, Peter, that Paul wrote, different ones, were to the church, to the saints, to those that have believed and obeyed the gospel, been baptized in the name of Jesus, their sins have been remitted, they have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and they are doing the work of the church, doing the work of God. And these apostles are there. You know, the scripture says the fivefold ministry was given for the perfecting of the saints. And so oftentimes the apostles are not reaching, it's not always that they're reaching the unchurched, but they are trying to keep the church churched. They're trying to keep them encouraged, keep them on the straight and narrow, remind them that there is victory, reminding them that there is help, reminding them that there is hope in this God they serve. That's why they would say, "Your labor in the Lord is not in vain." They would remind them that you get weary sometimes and you wonder, is this worth it? Is the sacrifices that I've made or the loss that I've experienced, is it worth this? What, you know, is this is what God really wanted for me? And we focus a lot of times on what we've lost and forget about what we've gained. And anything that we have lost for Christ, as Paul would say, it is gain. The things he thought were gain unto him from the world, he counted them loss. And he said, "I've suffered the loss of everything to win him. I want to win him." Looking in the Word, oftentimes Paul would write to the church and tell them things that were so sometimes very deep and mysterious. As Peter would write, he said things Paul wrote, sometimes they are hard to understand. But some things are just, here it is, in your face, black and white, as a matter of fact. Thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. Earnestly contend for the things in the gospel, the scripture, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." And And so we realize sometimes there is a struggle, but if I'm going to fight, I want to win. Yeah? This ain't like a prize fight where you can come in second and still win enough money to live the rest of your life. I used to love to watch boxing. I haven't watched it in a long time, but coming up, I used to love, especially when Mike Tyson was in his prime, and they would be talking about the money that each fighter was going to get, and I was thinking, dude, I would get in that ring for about 45 seconds, let him knock me out, and then I'd just spend that 45, 50 million, 100 million, whatever it was. But then I got to think, watching after he'd hit them people, I was like, I might not be in any shape to spend the money, so I think I'll avoid that. But it was ridiculous what the loser would get. I was looking at the things like in this world that people celebrate losers. You know, if you were any good at golf and good enough to get to the Masters, you could come in like 59th place and still win several hundred dollars. They had a breakdown of the listing of all the money they made. I was like, man, I think I could get good enough to come in 69th place or 50th place and then not have to work the rest of the year. That'd be pretty cool. But it's not like that. And this fight that we're fighting the good fight of faith. We're fighting for our souls in the light of eternity. We know that God is coming back to get his church one day. And while we're here, we're doing the work of the kingdom. And we go through things just because we are employed by the King of Kings. And just because we are in service of the Creator of the universe and the Savior of our soul does not exclude us from the problems of this life. And Paul understands that when we are carrying such great responsibility to reach the lost and to lift one another up, to strengthen those hands that hang down and those encourage those with those feeble knees and say, you know, just we're trying to pray for one another and bless one another and have compassion on one another so we can all make it to heaven. But then we're trying to reach those that we know haven't turned to God yet. And in the midst of all that, we're trying to make our life work. And sometimes that gets hard. And sometimes we feel like we're losing. And sometimes we feel like we're drowning. And sometimes we feel like, I don't know if I can make it another day. But Paul would write to the church. He would write to the saints of the Most High. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd love to remind somebody tonight that there may be a fight, but there is an absolute victory in Jesus tonight. Oh, come on, somebody. I know it's Wednesday night, but I want to remind you that, you know, they even talk about Wednesday as being hump day. It's the middle of the week. I've been through all the hard stuff already, and I'm ready for the weekend. We used to sing, working for the weekend, getting ready for, because that was the party time. That's when we'd be released. And in the middle of the week, we were struggling. And so in the middle of the week, and when you've been to work, you've already had things happen, things not go your way, things that you're thinking about you've got to get done, and you feel like you're going under, and you wonder, why do I even go to church on Wednesday night? Why do I get up on Sunday? Why do I bother? I'll tell you why you bother, because there's victory. There's a battle to be won. There's a reward to be had. Friend, one day we're going to receive that prize, just like Paul said. I have finished my course, fought a good fight, and I kept the faith, and now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And I tell you today that not only is it a blessing for eternity, but it is a blessing in this life when you know and trust that God is on your side. If we just can remember that God has given us the victory. He didn't loan it to us. That would inquire that I got to give it back. He don't rent victory to me. That would say that I'm paying something for it. But he freely gives the church victory. Jesus would tell his disciples, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. And friend, it doesn't just mean, I don't think he's just talking about one enemy, because we do have an enemy of our soul. And friend, we have an enemy of our flesh. And sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Do you know that he gave you victory over yourself? That you could mortify the deeds of your flesh through the Spirit? Sometimes we fight ourselves. We look in the mirror and we don't see anything worth saving, but God shed his blood for that one you're looking at in the mirror. Sometimes we make mistakes and we feel like, I'm not worthy of God's grace and I'm not worthy of God's mercy. But I'm telling you tonight, that's exactly who God came to give victory to. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Come on, somebody. He come to heal those that are sick. He come to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory. And we're going to have a much more profitable walk with God when we can realize that I've got the victory. I'm not chasing victory. Friend, I'm living in victory. I'm not wondering where victory's at. It's all around me. When he moved in, it became like this. Greater is he that's in me, that's victory, than he that is in the world. And while we struggle, and I know that our frame is dust, and one man in the psalm said, remind me just how frail I am. Sometimes we need to be humble and we need to remember that we are flesh and blood. But friend, God did not call us to just be weak and pitiful. You can be humble without being weak. You can be modest without being weak. You don't have to be proud and boastful and arrogant and egotistical to be strong. Jesus was meek and lowly, but he had all power in heaven and earth. And so I'm telling you tonight that God called us to that same kind of meekness. He called us to love people. He called us to be long-suffering. He calls us to be kind to one another and to forgive one another. And that's not weakness. That's strength. He did not call us to be pushed around and kicked around. He didn't call us to walk around with our head dropped down. Thanks be to God that gives me the victory. He gave me victory over myself. He gave me victory over my addictions. Nobody chose those things for me. I chose those things, and I started those things, and I indulged in those things. And when I came to God, he delivered me from that sin, and he delivered me from that craving. He delivered me from that addiction. He broke those chains, and I was able to walk out. He opened the prison door. And friend, you can either, he opens the door for a lot of people. Some people just don't walk out. But I wanted victory. I wanted to be victorious over my life. I wanted to be victorious over these things that were holding me down. And now for the first time, I was the head and not the tail. I was above and not beneath. I was walking on top of the things that should have took me out. I was walking on top of the things that tried to destroy me. Thanks be to God. He don't just save us for eternity, friend, but he saves us now and he gives us victory right now. I know we have to endure until the end to be completely saved, but God has saved me from the agony. He has saved me from the regret. He has saved me from so many things that could have destroyed me. He has saved me in every way possible. And friend, when we can grab a hold of that and understand that God gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about what's going to come tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what the test might say. We don't have to worry about what the lawyer might say. We don't have to worry about what the news might say. I don't have to worry about who's got their finger on the button to push the next nuke. I ain't got to worry about none of that because I know that God has given me victory. That's not being crazy and burying our heads in the sand and acting like nothing's going on. That is complete and utter trust in the God who made me and the God who saved me. Oh, somebody ought to give him some thanks right now. Paul wrote this to the church. He wrote it to the saints. And if you're in the church and you're a saint of God, then you ought to hear just this very simple and powerful declaration. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's him. It's him. I am nothing. Even Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I can't win without him. I can't overcome without him. I won't be able I can't preach the gospel without him. I can't win nobody without him. I can't beat this stuff without him. But friend, with him, Paul said it, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. And I'm glad tonight that he's still giving strength. I'm glad tonight that whenever I feel like I'm running low, God will give me strength. I can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That doesn't exclude me from doing my part. I need to make a contribution here. I don't just lay back and just expect him to just clear the way without me doing anything, not believing, not serving, not being faithful. Just here I am, God, and because of your grace, I know you're going to clear my path. That's not the way grace works. Nowhere in the scripture does it work like that. We've got to do it with him. We are workers together with him. We've got to stand on his word, stand in his faith, stand in his might. We've got to believe him and trust him and encourage ourselves in the Lord. And remember that if God be for us, who can be against us? Thanks be to God which gives us the victory. Praise God. I'm so glad that God gives us the victory. Through the scripture, you just read it over and over again. One of my favorite stories in the scripture would be from 2 Samuel in chapter 23. Verse 11 says, and after him was Shema. He was the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory. And this man proves to us, let me tell you, friend, when we stand, verse 12 says, but while everybody else ran, he stood. Everybody else said, I'm getting out of here. But Shema, he said, I'm going to stand because I know who I serve. I know, and let me, I may die right here in faith, but I'm not going to run when the Lord is on my side. Whom shall I fear, or who shall I be afraid of? I will not fear what man can do unto me. Come on, somebody. Though a host encamp about me, he said, I shall not fear. He knew that if he could just stand, and he proved something to us today, that if we will just stand, victory is just right around the corner. He stood when everybody else said, I got to get out of here. Let me ask you tonight, when everybody else runs, will you stand? When everybody else starts throwing in the towel, will you plant your feet and say, my heart is fixed. I'm standing on the promises. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm not going anywhere. When everybody else says, that's enough, they twisted my arm too much, I can't take this anymore, I can't go through another storm, will you stand? Because when we stand, we know that we're going to see some great things happen. When Israel was chased by Egypt to the banks of the Red Sea, they began to panic. They wanted to run, but there was nowhere to run. And Moses said, just stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Or he'll make a way when there is no way. He'll let you run through on dry ground and he'll bury the enemy behind you. If you'll just stand and trust the Lord, you'll lift your hands one day and say, thanks be to God that gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said there was a troop coming. But the Bible says, by my Lord, I have run through a troop. That's what the scripture says. By my God, I have run through a troop. Don't let the odds frighten you. When it looks like there's more against you than there are for you. I'm sure Shema, maybe it was his brother. And he said, hey, bro, where'd you go? Well, I know I got my buddy. We've been lifelong. Where'd you go? Sometimes people that you've been closest to, they may desert you. Sometimes people that you've prayed with might run away. People you've worshiped with might quit. People that you brought into the church, they might run away. But friend, you make up your mind. You're a saint of the Most High God. I'm going to stand my ground. Shema stood, and God wrought a great victory that day simply because somebody stood their ground. We can stand. That word stood is a verb. In the Hebrew, it's a reflexive verb. It means that Shema put some effort into this. He wasn't standing because he was frozen with fear. He wasn't standing because he didn't know what to do. He made his mind up. I'm going to stand and I'm going to fight for God. I'm going to fight for what's ours. You say, well, it's just a piece of ground. Yeah, but it was his piece of ground. It was lentils. It was food. It was maybe income for them. I don't know. Maybe it was an inheritance that had been given. But he said, you're not going to take away what God has given me. It's a piece of ground. Okay. God did a lot of things with the ground. He created man out of the dust of the ground. Ground's worth fighting for. Come on. When the woman was brought to him in the act of adultery, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Hello? Come on, somebody. When he prayed in the garden, it said that his sweat became like blood and it dripped onto the ground. Let me tell you, God has done a lot of things with ground. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Come on. Come on, somebody. Husband, wife, stand your ground. Come on, somebody. Teenager, college student, stand your ground. I don't care what you're doing in this life. You just stand for God, and God's going to come through. Go ahead and believe that God's going to do it. And lift your hands and say, thanks be to God that gives us the victory. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory. And we can stand knowing who we serve. Paul would write to the Ephesians, he said, take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand. He said, you need what I'm going to give you so you can withstand. And then he says, and after you've done all you can do, stand. Stand therefore. But when you've done everything else, when you've prayed, when you've fasted, when you've been faithful, when you've done all the things that you believe that God has asked you to do, just stand and see the salvation of your God. Because God rewards, this is scripture, he said he rewards the faithful doer. God rewards the faithful doer. Not the faithful hearer, the faithful doer. A lot of people hear, not as many do. I think it said in Ephesians, he said, take the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. The reason somebody can't stand, sometimes they won't take the whole. Mm. They like to accessorize. I don't like that helmet, but that breastplate's pretty good. Well, I like that shield and sword, but I don't like that helmet. Take the whole armor. Take everything that God's got for you, and you're going to get the victory. You'll be able to withstand. That means you can take whatever the enemy throws at you. Yeah. To withstand something is to remain standing when something comes against you. Right. You'll be when the storm's over, you'll be saying, I'm still here. I'm still here. Right. Still here. Yeah. You'll be like Daniel when they come to the mouth of that den. He said, oh, Daniel, is the God that you serve, was he able to keep you? Oh, King, live forever. I don't know if he was talking to that king or the King of Kings. But when they heard that voice, they were like, can you believe this? That we threw him in this den of hungry lions and he spent the night in that place without a scratch on him? Because when you stand, what did Daniel do? They said, don't pray to anybody but the king. But Daniel said, even after he knew they passed that law, he prayed every day like he did before. He didn't let nothing stop him. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to back up on serving God because the world don't like it. I'm not going to back up on serving God because my friends don't like it. I'm not going to back up on serving God because my family don't like it. Friend, I don't care. Listen, your relationship with God is not dependent upon anybody else but you and Him. You got to work it out with Him. And it might make them uncomfortable. That's all right. You don't have to poke that sore. Just be kind and be loving and be compassionate. That makes a difference. But don't settle for less because somebody else doesn't want to rise up and meet God where you do. You go and you draw close to God. You get near to God. You do everything you can do to be everything He wants you to be. And if everybody don't want to go that distance, then they don't have to. But you go where God is calling you to go. You do what God is calling you to do. I heard Brother Mangan preach one time. He said, you are as close to God as you want to be. And that's the truth that people need to understand today. Where is God? Well, you're as close to Him as you want to be. Because when we draw close to God, He draws close to us. And sometimes we get comfortable stopping at a certain place, but I want to go the distance. I want to go as far as God wants me to go. I want to see everything He wants me to see, and I want to do everything He wants me to do. I want to be like Paul at the end of my life and say, I am now ready to be offered because I finished my course. I did what God asked me to do. I labored more abundantly because I knew the kind of person I was. I knew how I labored in the world. Friend, my labor for the Lord should exceed my labor I put off in the world. I labored hard in the world to do all the stuff I wanted to do. But now that I've come to Him, I need to be making sure that I am doubling my efforts, that I am working hard to win people into the kingdom. I didn't mind back in those days bringing people to the party. I didn't mind bringing the party to them. I'm ashamed to say how much alcohol I bought for underage people in my life, or how many times I introduced somebody to their first joint or their first drink. I did that because that's just who I was. But how many times now I can say I told somebody about Jesus. The first time they heard about Him, I got to tell them about Him. I got to pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost. I got to baptize them in Jesus' name. Friend, let me tell you, all I did then, I hate it, and I wish I couldn't even remember it, and I don't dwell on it. But friend, whenever I do remember some of it, man, it just hurts my heart to think of what I did and how I was. So I labor more abundantly because I know that God has given me victory over that life, and I can share victory with others today. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory. I'm so thankful that this man stood, gave us an example that you can stand when the enemy is coming at you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. And friend, I'm glad that we're part of that standard, that the church, the Holy Ghost filled church, the sanctified church, is that standard that God can raise up, and we can withstand the enemy and stand in this evil day. We're able to do that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. When you know Him, friend, let me tell you, you can do. We can do it. In Daniel, actually 11 and 32, it says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong. When you know God, you'll be strong. I'm about to go through something. I don't know if I can take it. You can if you know your God. I don't know if I can bear this. I've heard people, I've said it. Oh, if that happened, I don't know if I could bear it, but I can. There is nothing in this world that can take us out unless we let it. In your wildest imagination, it can't happen unless you let it. You have to surrender to it, because if God be for you, who can be against you? When I fall, I shall arise. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Over and over again, the promises of victory are in the Scripture. And I know sometimes people get hit with hard, crushing things, but He gave us in His Word examples. You could look at Job and see, here's a man who got hurt on every facet of his life. He was tried. When you examine that and break it down, every facet of his life was attacked. Family. Lost his children. His wife was upset with him. His friends couldn't give him good advice. He couldn't find God. I looked here, there. I looked where he works. Looked behind me. Looked forward. I can't perceive him. But then in the middle of that, he said, but he knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, I shall be gold. I can't get my kids back. I can't get those crops back. I can't get those herds back. But I've still got God. And I've still got breath. And his wife said, we'll just curse God and die. Oh, that's foolish talk. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You're talking like there ain't a God. But look how God has blessed us. Shall we receive good and blessed at the hand of the Lord, and shall evil not come visit us? It's going to happen, but that doesn't change how good God is. Thanks be to God. When he fell down and worshiped, he was saying, thanks be to God that gives us the victory. He knew that somehow he'd come out of this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Thanks be to God that gives me the victory. And so I'm telling you, saint of God, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled church of God, let me remind you, it might get tough, but you don't have to get going. You can stand. You don't have to run. You don't have to hide. You don't have to bail out. You don't have to give up. You don't have to throw in the towel. Thanks be to God. God is still alive. God is still real. God is still on the throne. And I give him thanks tonight because he's still causing us to live in victory. It's never changed. It hasn't changed one bit. God is still giving people the victory. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and curl up and hide. Nope. They'll be strong, but they're going to run away. Nope. He said they're going to do. They're going to do exploits. They're going to do notable things. They're going to do things that make people drop their jaw to the ground. You know what I love about the story of Shema? It's what his name means. It means to astonish or to ruin. He ruined the plans of the enemy that day. I'm sure they were astonished as they come charging that field and they only see one man standing his ground. But he didn't run. I like to do a word play here. I think I've preached this before, but everybody else ran. R-U-N. But when I step in, run becomes ruin. That's who Shema was. When I stand, I can ruin the plan of the enemy. I can defeat the plan of the enemy. I can astonish the enemy. We don't have to drop our jaw at what the enemy's throwing at us. Friend, let him see you standing in the midst of the fire. Let him see you standing in the midst of the storm. Let him see you standing, because great conflict will produce great courage in those who trust in God. And then it leads to great victory. Every time there is great conflict, you just settle it in your heart, there will be a great victory. God did not design us for defeat. Even when they took the Lamb of God and whipped him and ripped the skin from his body, and mocked him, they punched him with no retaliation. They thought, we've beat him down. We've broke his spirit. This man who walked on water, this man that raised the dead, this man that healed the sick. And here he is, saying nothing, doing nothing. He's broke. We got him. But he had the last word when he hung on that cross and said, it is finished. In the midst of what looked like terrible and great consequences for Calvary, it was great victory for you and I. It is finished. What's finished? You are. You're finished. You won't push my people around anymore. You won't defeat my people anymore, because what I've done here is enough to give them victory from now till I come back to get them. I'm going to give them victory over everything, over sickness, over devils, over flesh, over people, over government, over the cultures of the world. I'm going to give them victory. And I thank God for the victory. Ooh, I heard an old story about a Savior who came from glory. Anybody know that one? Victory in Jesus. Ooh, I'm glad I got it. We used to sing them victory songs. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Come on, somebody. Maybe you ain't been around long enough to hear those, but friend, we used to sing them songs because we believed it. I've got the victory in Him. I've got the victory. And people that were losing their homes would sing, I've got the victory. People that had lost their jobs were saying, I've got the victory. People whose relationships were falling apart were singing, I got the victory. People that were grieving the loss of loved ones were standing up saying, but I've got the victory. And I know one day I'll see them again. You know why? Because God gave us the victory over death, hell, and the grave. We don't have to sorrow as others sorrow, having no hope, because God gave us victory even in death. We know that if we close our eyes here, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Victory! Yes. Friend, if I open my eyes one day and see the Lamb of God, you know what I'm going to know? Victory! Yes. I made it! Yes. Woo! And I'm going to say, thanks be to God who gave me the victory. That's where we're headed. That's what we're going to. We've got the victory, church. God has given us the victory. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory, that gives us the power to stand. I'm looking at my clock. You know, knowing who He is and knowing who you are and knowing whose you are is a key to standing. In Acts 27, Paul was on a ship that was in the midst of a great storm. And when all hope was lost, the writer said all hope was lost that we should be saved. They had not seen the sun in many days. They had unloaded the tackling of the ship with their own hands. They had fasted for days, not eating or drinking. They were looking for a way out, and all they could see was storm clouds. All they could feel was the rain and the wind and the waves beating against the side of the ship. And here comes Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthians. Paul comes walking out there, and he's drenched because he's standing in the rain, and he's staggering side to side because the ship is being tossed about. But he said, hang on, let me tell you something. There stood by me this night the angel of God. I think he's done got delirious out here in the middle of the ocean. But Paul said, oh no, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he gave me a word. Fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And God has given them all that sail with you. Nobody's going to die. Friends, sometimes when you stand, your stand will help others. You don't know what it does when people see you stand. These men were broke. These men were afraid. They were probably in their minds saying goodbye to their loved ones. They sailed in ships, and they knew what kind of storm this was and what this could do. And they realized that hope is lost. But here comes a man speaking a word so bold, and hope begins to rise up in them again. And he said, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. In other words, it is written, it is settled, and the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. And if God said it, friend, if it's in His word, then I can just expect it to work in my life. So thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Come on, somebody. I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you something tonight. God is still giving the church victory. God is still delivering his people. God is still healing his people. God is still saving people. There ain't nobody so lost they can't be saved. There ain't nothing so broke that he can't fix it. There ain't nothing so out of order that he can't put it back right. God is able tonight to do what we can't do if we will just stand on the promises of God. He will provide all of our needs. I know I'm running out of time. I know I'm running out of time, but just let me remind you of a few scriptures since I got a few moments. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Woo! Come on, somebody, say that with me. God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Woo! You got to read that slow. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. God is not going to let it. I told you already, it can't do you in unless you let it. Because God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape so you are able to bear it. But we get so focused on the problem, we won't see the way out. For Shema, it was just simply stand your ground. God backed his play. Because it said God wrought a great victory that day. God backed his play. Look at this man. Look at all them Philistines running up this hill trying to take this land. And look at all them other people, my kids running. And there's Shema. They named him right. Because we're about to ruin the plan of the enemy. We're about to astonish. They ain't going to believe. Well, I don't know how many people. I tried to look it up today, but the numbers were so varied, I can't say with accuracy how many are in a troop. It ranged from 50 to 60 to 5,000. So I know Samson killed 1,000 with a jawbone. Maybe it just was a number that no man could number. Maybe after about the first. I would think if I seen one guy knock out about 10 or 15 of my guys, I'd be out of there. This dude ain't going down. They just dropping like fire around him. Just, and he's still swinging. I don't know how many killed before they finally said, mm-mm, them beans ain't worth it. Let's get out of here. Maybe that's where the saying it ain't worth a hill of beans came from. The Philistines created it. Mm-mm. Ain't going up that hill again. God is faithful. Philippians 4:19, last scripture. You can stand with me tonight. I'll stop here. I'm not done, but it's time to stop. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Here it is. Here's the source again, by Christ Jesus. Rings very similar to what Paul said. Thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. So, what do you need? Do you need victory? If you need victory, it's here. Maybe you just need to stand your ground. You know, Jake mentioned that last night. He said sometimes, you know, we just need to trust the word and quit running around trying to look for something else. And just there's a word that's already been spoken. We've got the word. God's give us the victory. Maybe you need healing. Maybe that's your need. God's got it. It's here tonight. Yeah. Maybe you just need some peace, strength. I don't know. An answer. financial miracle, at cheaper gas, what I mean, you know. What do you need? Well, we used to do this. This old church was like this. It's altar call. It's altar time. And I stopped early so we'd have plenty of time. We got 13 minutes left before it's 8 o'clock, so we don't usually stop till 8. But we would preach, we'd give the altar call, say, saints, come on. Come get in this altar. Find your victory. Find your strength. Find what you need to go another day, to go another round, to stand for a little bit longer. Don't sit back there and wait on it. Come get it. Come get what you need from the Lord tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.